Welcome to Believers Chapel. If you are new and you have been coming for a month or a couple months and you have, maybe this is your first time or a couple weeks, man, we're pumped that you're here. Thank you so much for spending your time here. Thank you so much for really getting to know who we are as a church. And maybe you're making a decision on where you want to go to church. We love you. We're pumped that you're here. We're simple. What you see is what you get, man. We worship God as He is the creator of the universe, the one who would send His Son to die for us. And we just so desperately love Him and honor Him and express our great care for Him in worship. And we believe this right here is the absolute truth, that God gave us this, and it is alive and it is powerful, and it is Christ on page, folks. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the Word put on flesh. That's Christ, our King. The Word is truth, man. Jesus Himself declared the truth in John 17. God, Your Word is truth. And this is us, man. It's real simple. So we are so, so amazed. Thank you for coming back. Thank you for plugging in. Thank you for serving in this place. Thank you for inviting people to church. We hear reports every week about so many people hearing about Believers Chapel, what God is doing in Believers Chapel. Marriage is stronger than ever. Lives never the same. That's God, man. That's incredible. Gang, we're a spit in the ocean, but God is doing a great work in your lives. And I tell you what, I am begging God for a breakthrough. Begging God for a breakthrough in your life, breakthrough in your marriage, breakthrough in your teenagers, begging God for a breakthrough in the darkness, that true life would come and lives would not be the same, that they would recognize light versus darkness, they would recognize heaven versus hell, they'd recognize God versus Satan, they'd recognize sheep versus goat. Man, we're begging God for a breakthrough in this region. Powerful stuff. And you know what? You're part of that breakthrough. You're part of what God is doing, and it's just incredible. So thank you again for being here. And we're going to start a new series this morning. And the new series is called God Meant What He Said. Gang, buckle up, because we are going to speak this, and we're going to speak it truth, and we're going to speak it straight as we do every week. Every time we have the ability to open this up, man, we shoot straight. Tee it up, because we're going deep, all right? This is what we're doing. God Meant What He Said. This series is going to be a kind of a long series, but we're going to go over some things that are going to equip you, that is going to teach you, that is going to encourage you, that is going to bring great correction in an encouraging way, that we can live free and live for Him solely, completely for Him. When you begin to really believe, as we come in and worship God and thank God and adore Him and honor Him, and we look at God, we've got to come to believe, God, You meant what You said. If I truly believe that You are all-powerful, all-knowing, great creator God, then I have to believe You meant what You said. Because God's not a hypocrite. And He means what He says. And man, I'm telling you what, hang in there in this series. Please do not miss a week. Be consistent in this series. Even tonight at Seek, please come to Seek tonight, 7 o'clock. We're going to ask God really to really honor and have breakthrough in this series. This month, this series, God, October is Yours. This month belongs to You. And tonight, we come before Him in worship and say, God, it is Yours. Tonight is this month is Yours. We're asking God for a breakthrough. We're going to be talking about God meant what He said. And this morning, we start with the title of this message is The New You is Not About You. The New You is Not About You. What is it? What truly is a life? And worship just went amazing, even leading right into this. What truly is a life that is a surrendered life? I want you to hear from these guys here. Well, I love that. By the way, that's your men leadership for your youth. Get your teenagers to break away. Don't miss that opportunity. These are the guys who are leading my son and my daughter and the things that to live a life of a surrendered life. Gang, what is it to truly surrender and say, God, this life I live is not my own. For I've been bought with a price. God, I am all in. I belong to you. God, my eyes are open to the truth that it's no longer about me. Come on, two places this morning, please. Romans 11, 36 through 12, and then Colossians 3. Turn to Colossians 3, put a marker, please, and we will be at Romans 11. We'll start at Romans 11. Turn to Colossians 3, put a marker, and then we'll start at Romans 11. Father, we do thank you for this morning. Father, we are asking for a breakthrough in this. God, this is, God, you meant what you said. Life is not about us anymore, but it's truly solely about you. And God, what a battle at times that can be in our lives. But God, today we'll hear so clearly from you. Father, please speak to us today. God, please open the eyes of our heart to see exactly what we need to see individually. Husband and wife as one, children, teenagers, honoring and respecting your parents, the single young adult, God, speak to us, clearly speak to us. Father, that we will have ears to hear, we will have eyes to see, and a heart that is hungry for truth. Speak to us this morning, please, by your Spirit. Folks, I ask that you would ask God this morning again, as we do every week. God, I'm here and I'm hungry. Feed me. Speak to me, God. Show me your way this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, if you could, we usually don't do this, but I really want to turn to three places. If you could just keep your fingers there and then turn over to 2 Corinthians 5, please, because I really want you to see this. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. I really want you to understand this in a very, very clear way. I am going to overload you. I try not to do this so much in message prep as to overload you with Scripture, but this is a point that we cannot miss. If we're going to understand this whole series, this is why specifically that we put this one first, is when you begin to recognize without doubt that God has very clearly said, life, Sean, is no longer about you. Sean, it's about me. Everything you eat and breathe, whatever you do, Sean, it's for my glory. It's about me. Gang, what a life that's lived. That's about him. And man, we are going to cover just some scripture this morning. I want you to get this. I don't want to overwhelm you, but the point has to be crystal, without doubt clear, that life is not. Why? Because we got to understand this, gang. We fight this thing. We fight this thing called me. We fight this thing called self. It was the absolute top sin of Adam and Eve. The very first sin was God said this and they disobeyed. Disobedience was a part of that very first thing. But why is it that they disobeyed? Because they were thinking of themselves. Satan presents the fruit. Hey, God gave you the whole garden, told you not to eat from this one tree. And then the Bible says that Eve saw that it was good for food. The Bible says that Eve's eyes were open to the point that it was a delight to her eyes. And it was desirable to make one wise. You know what Eve saw? Eve saw self. Man, that looks good. And man, is there something stirring up in me that's about me? Then she could have had every fruit that's in that garden that was perfect, perfect, without fault fruit. And God said, don't eat from this one. And then self showed up. It looks good. It's delight to my eyes. And man, it's desirable to make one wise. The Bible, the next statement says, and she took and she ate. Because Eve was thinking about Eve. Adam, look at this fruit, Adam. Look how good. Doesn't that just look good? Doesn't it look better than all the other fruit? Doesn't this one? I mean, you could imagine. And then the Bible says, and then he ate. It's right at the very first. Gang, why is it that we never have to teach our kids? I mean, think about this. I've yet to find kids to go to a place to have all these toys. Oh, my toys are your toys. Here, you can play with this one. No, the kids are like, this is mine. And you have to discipline and teach your kids how to share This is over and over and over. They stomp their feet, they cry, they whine, they stomp their feet, they throw their fits. It's inbred, man. It's sin. That's the way it is. It's the nature of sin itself. So we fight this thing. We fight this. So we are trying to swim upstream with this. We recognize, even I love how Seth closed that thing. And then just to wake up and have to surrender all over again. Folks, this is a day after day after day after day deal. Because we fight self day after day after day. I mean, you think about it. You have a picture, a large picture of all these people in it. You're in it. Who's the only one you're looking for? And listen, 40 people could look amazing, but you didn't like your smile, and all of a sudden that picture is just no good. I mean, that's the way it works. You don't care about anyone else. You're not even looking for anyone else. You see yourself. Please tell me I'm wrong that the very first person you look at and you're finding yourself in that picture, that's true. And you say, man, I don't look good. Everyone else just looks flawless. Everyone's looking at the same camera. I love that when there's 15 cameras and everybody's looking, their eyes are everywhere. But this picture, everyone's looking at the same camera but you. And it's like, oh, that picture's horrible. That's a bad picture. Right? I mean, that's the way it is. I mean, listen, you think of yourself when you're driving in traffic. Listen, this is my sin. This is where I'm at. Okay? I would love it if I was the only one on the road, folks. When I get in my car, everyone just pull over, man. Because seriously, there's times I'm driving in sin, and I'm thinking, am I seriously the only one on this road that has to be somewhere? I mean, sir, am I the only one that has a plan? I'm like, listen, Sunday drivers on Tuesday don't work. Sunday drivers on Sundays, park it, whatever. I mean, it's just like, are you kidding me? I mean, like, seriously, I'm driving. I'm like, am I the only one that really has anything to do today besides drive 10 miles under the speed limit? I'm just asking you to go to the speed limit, but that's all. I'm just saying, come on. Right on red in New York, people, right on red. It's that simple. Blinker, right on red. But that's my sin. I would love it if I woke up and I'm the only. Listen, Sunday mornings, it's awesome. I'm here at like 5:30, 5 o'clock, 5:15. I'm rolling, and there are times that I drove. Oh, it's just so amazing. I'm like, God, this is going to be a great, great Sunday because I made it all the way to church. Lights are blinking, and I didn't even see a cop, man. There wasn't a person on the road. Nobody in front of me from shoom. I'm like, oh, this is going to be one of them special days. You know, that's my sin. Look at this. Come on. 2 Corinthians 5 says this. Verse 17. Therefore, anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. It's amazing that when we come to Christ, we become new. And folks, God so clearly says the new you is not about you. See, there's this amazing thing to surrender. And I'm not referencing a POW type surrender, where it's a surrender by force. We lose the war, people come in and take us over, or you go to prisoner of war and you are surrendered by force. Isn't it amazing that we surrender by choice? To recognize, please get this, this is the message, that when you surrender and you come to this place to say, God, this life I live is not my own. There is such release and there is such freedom in surrender. There is such release and there is such freedom in a surrender by choice to Almighty, all-powerful God, whose good is for us. Look at this, verse 20. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creature. For then it talks about reconciliation, talks about the word of reconciliation, the work of reconciliation. Reconciliation means enemy to friend. Reconciliation means this relationship has been restored. Isn't it awesome that the relationship that has been severed from the very beginning of Adam and Eve has been restored because of Christ on the cross? And God, by his work of Christ on the cross, has restored, went from enemy to friend. And then it says this, verse 20, therefore, we are ambassadors. That's powerful. We are ambassadors for Christ. Highlight that word. Ambassador means representative. It's no, you do not represent yourself anymore, folks. Look, you got to understand, the new you is not about you. Therefore, we are. If you are in Christ, if you are a new creature, a new creation, old things have gone, new things have come. If you are, the we are you and I who know Christ. The we are. You are an ambassador for Christ. You are now a representative of Christ. You no longer represent yourself. You represent Christ. That's amazing. That is amazing. Now look at this. As though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Isn't it amazing? As if God is making an appeal through you because you no longer represent you, but you're ambassador of Christ and you represent Christ. So God, through you as a representative of Jesus Christ, we have the ability to go before people. And here, this is what Paul says. I'm begging you. Gang, you and I should come to the point to recognize our position in Christ is not to represent ourselves, not to represent our needs, not to represent our desires, but to represent Jesus Christ and come to that point as God is using and coming through you to what? To beg people, please come to Christ. As I represent Jesus, no longer about me, I represent Christ. Please, please be reconciled to God. And it's only through Jesus. Gang, that should be our play, man. That should be who we are in Christ, that we no longer represent. When you begin to really understand the new you isn't about you, that you now, in the same sense of that verse, he says, therefore, because you're new, it's no longer about you because you now represent Christ in a point where God is going to work through you, that you would come to a point to be so serious about God working through you that we would beg people to come to Christ. Powerful. Come on, Romans, please. Come on, Romans, verse 36. Romans 11, 36. And this is Paul preaching this, and he's writing this, and he says this. For through him, are all things, circle all. To him be the glory, highlight that, forever. Look at this. From him, he's the source. Through him, he's the sustainer. To him, listen, it's his purpose. From him, through him, to him. From him, he's the source. Through him, he's the sustainer of all things. And to him, it's his purpose. Are what? All things. To what? To be for the glory of him. Look at this. To him be the glory. Not for my glory. Not for your glory. When we recognize that Jesus is the true center of it all, when we recognize that Jesus has been there from the very beginning, when we recognize that Jesus was a huge part of being the creator, when we recognize that it is from him, through him, and to him, all things, and to him be the glory. Then he goes right into verse 1 and highlight this. Therefore, when you get this, folks, therefore, you will recognize, could you imagine what it would be? Point number one of this message is life surrender. Could you imagine what it would be if you and I took these three verses and rearranged our whole life around three verses? We rearranged us as children. We rearranged us as teenagers. We rearranged us as young adults, college. We rearranged us as young singles out of college. We rearranged us as those who are married, husband, wife, those who are honoring parents, those who are in a workplace and a workforce. And we totally rearranged everything to these three verses. Your life would not be the same. That's what happens to a church whose purpose is to honor and glorify God and watch his work be accomplished and not our work. That's surrender. Could you imagine if you take 500 people who come to Believer's Chapel and that 500 people from all ages, gang, we've got babies in the womb to amazing, wonderful people who are in their 80s. That's awesome. Could you imagine what it would be if you went from that span of 500 people who lived a life that was not their own? What? Therefore, because all things exist because of him, because all things come from him, through him, and are to him, because it's all things are for his glory, therefore, I urge you, listen, Paul is begging the Roman church. I am begging you, I am urging you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God. He's begging these people, first understand that all things are through him, for him, and to him, because of his glory, for his glory, not our glory. It's all about him. Therefore, when you understand that, when you get that, he says, I'm urging you, I'm begging you, please get this. Brethren, that's the church. that he's writing this to the Christians, those Christians who are in Rome. He's saying, listen, this is the deal. I'm begging you, brethren, please, by the mercies, the compassion of God, to present. This is where the term surrender comes. Present here, it means to offer or surrender. To surrender your bodies, and this word bodies is not just the physical shell. It is, this word body has a meaning of the whole, the person as a whole. Body, mind, soul, spirit. Everything I think, everything I say, everything I do. God, I'm all in. And Paul comes to the place, to the Roman church, to say, I'm begging you to do this. To surrender and to offer your bodies, your whole being. Look what he says. It's amazing. As a living and holy sacrifice. Isn't it amazing that Old Testament sacrifices had to be dead? Isn't it amazing that Jesus, as a sacrifice, had to die? Isn't it amazing that he calls you and me to be a living, surrendered sacrifice? It is a choice to surrender, to present, to offer by choice, a living and holy sacrifice. Now, please hear this, man. I've gone over this all week. Acceptable to God. Folks, when you do a study of sacrifices that are acceptable to God and sacrifices that are not acceptable to God, you see it in Genesis 4 with Cain and Abel. You see it in Leviticus 22. And it goes through a whole list of that which is acceptable, which God accepts as a sacrifice. And it is amazing that God doesn't take our seconds as a sacrifice. It is amazing that Paul says, I am begging you to present yourself, to offer yourself, to surrender yourself, a living and holy sacrifice. One that is not your seconds. Ones that is not your leftovers. Because it needs to be acceptable to God. Isn't it amazing that we are in this relationship with the creator of the universe who knows all things? And then self shows up and we give him our seconds. We give him what's left over. And Paul is saying, please don't do that, because God's not going to accept that. He wants you living in holy sacrifice that's acceptable to him. Now look at this. He makes it like it is, man, this is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is. I've written down not what my will is. Isn't it amazing that we want to have this competition with God? Well, this is what I want, God. When we present ourselves and we totally surrender to him, knowing that it is all for him, through him, and to him, for his glory, that it's not for our will, but for his will. Highlight that. And that what the will of God is, not my will, but his, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. When you break, could you imagine what it would be like if you broke your life down and you lived these three verses? God, everything in my life, my whole being as a husband, my whole being as a wife, my whole being as a teenager, my whole being as a college student. God, it's not my life. God, it's your life. God, I totally surrender to you. God, what do you have for me? God, your direction. Isn't it amazing that even the college students that have would have such a direction say, God, I give up. God, I belong to you. God, this is my plan, but I'm in for your plan. God, if you have the absolute total right to change the plan, and I will follow. Isn't that amazing that in the very distinct timing of their life that they're making choice? God, who am I going to be? What am I going to do? What am I going to study? Who am I going to marry? Where am I going to go? That it's come to this point to say, God, I come to you and offer myself and present myself to you as a living and holy sacrifice that would be acceptable to you. God, me is not about me. And God, I want the decisions to be oriented towards you. God, what's your will for my life? Because I don't want it to be my will, but I want it to be your will. Could you imagine a husband and a wife living in such a way? God, not my will, but your will be done in my wife and in my husband and in my children, in my home. God, as for me and my house, we will serve you. God, it's not about me. It's about your plan for my wife and for my children and for who I am as the man of the house. Powerful stuff, folks, when you get what it is that the new you is not really about you. It's about his glory. Come on, look at this. Colossians 3, please. You'll see when it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, the mind is a very powerful tool in which was given by God. You can dwell on something and it can wreck your day. Or you can dwell on him and it can make your day. It can change your mindset, folks. So many times on Scripture, set your mind, guard your mind, guard your heart, watch your mind, watch your heart. So many different things that God specifically tells us to be very careful with and to watch over and to guard. And look at this. I want you to see this. Colossians 3, verse 1. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, again, that's the believer, man. That's you and I who are in Christ. Keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. When Christ, who is our life. Galatians 2:20 says this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Listen, I have been crucified with Christ. Look at Colossians 3, verse 3, for you have died. And you are hidden. Isn't it amazing, gang, that you and I would come to the place that when people see you and I, and people see us living this surrendered life that's not about us, that we now are shielded and we stand before Christ, and Christ actually is in front, and they actually see Christ and they don't see Sean. Isn't it amazing that I don't want to present myself because I'm a mess, but I will present Christ because he is perfect. And I have died to myself. Gang, get the lingo here, man. Get the language. It says you have died to yourself and we are hidden in Christ. Look at this. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live. The new you is not about you, but it's Christ who lives in me. What happens, folks, when you understand that God meant what he said, when he says it's not about you, it's about him and it's about his glory. Set your mind on things above and not on the things that are on the earth. We see in verse 1 that the things above is Christ. So we need to set our mind on Christ. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life. So my question here, I love to read and ask myself questions. Father, is Christ my life? Am I living this life for me? Or am I living this life for Christ? Listen, as your pastor, I ask God that. As your pastor, I examine myself. God, am I living this thing right? God, is it truly Christ in me that people see? God, is this me right here? Christ who is my life. Is Christ, God, is it true that Christ is my life, that I'm not doing this thing for me? But I truly love this area and this region. I want people to get saved, that God, you get full credit, that it truly would be only for your glory. For this truly is not about me or anyone on this team, but it's for your glory and for the lost, hurt, and depressed, and for those who are in marriage, for those who are single, for the college students. That God, that we might just be able to deposit something in our lives, that they will never be the same. That God, that you by your Spirit would come and have breakthrough in lives. So God, is it really only about you? That's my heart, folks. Because I do not want this to be about anything except for him, for Christ, who is my life. Is Christ your life? Do you live and breathe for your King? Do you serve for your King? Do you walk in recognition that Jesus is truly the center and we are not? Folks, this is a game that we play, and this is a fight that we fight day after day, because self just wants to pound you and pound you and pound you and pound you until you really believe what God said, and he meant what he said, that the new you isn't about you. The new you is for his glory. And that we would live a surrendered way for him. Say, Christ, who is my life? Come on, let's bow our heads, please. Folks, you live in a Christ-centered life. Do you understand that life isn't about us? Could you imagine what we could do as a church? 500 strong and growing. Of people who really get it. It's not about you. To get to that mature place in our faith, folks. Say, God, I want my life to be about you. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says that we are to reflect Christ as a mirror. The moon, folks, among itself is a black hole, man. It's just a black ball. It's got no light of itself, except for the sun reflecting off the moon, which creates just a great night light for us. Isn't it amazing that 2 Corinthians 3:18 declares that you and I are to reflect and to mirror Christ? Isn't it true that in amongst ourselves, folks, we're just a dead bunch? But because of Jesus, we're alive. And only because of Jesus, we reflect his light. It has no light of ourselves. We have nothing to give. We have nothing to offer. We have no light to shine except for Christ in us, who is the light through you and I. When you really break down Scripture, we could go over so many more Scriptures to recognize it's not about you. Your marriage. Folks, what if you truly lived in a marriage, in a relationship, that every day you got up and said, it's her needs first. Every day you woke up, his needs before my needs. I will put myself second in this marriage. That you went to work and say, I don't work for the boss. I do in a respectful way, but I ultimately work for his glory, which means I will be the very best employee in this whole company. I will not complain. I will not whine. I will not worry. I will be the very best employment of this company, that I don't just work just to serve and please the boss, but I please Almighty, powerful God, as it's Christ in me, and I work for his glory. What a different workplace you might have. Then actually you might get that promotion. Because they see you working so heartily, not just for them, but to honor and glorify God. And in that, you will have a reverence and a respect for your boss and for your employment and for the people that you work with. Folks, isn't it amazing that we recognize that Jesus is the center? I just want to read this to you, please. Colossians 1:16. For by him, that's Christ, all things were created, both in the heavens, on the earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones, dominion, rulers, or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. Jesus is the center of it all, folks. So please, I'm begging you this morning, as Paul did, please offer yourself and surrender yourself. Present your whole being a living and holy sacrifice that would be acceptable to God. Not seconds, not what's left over, not I'll serve you when this changes. I'm waiting for this to take place and then I'll fully surrender, but I won't fully surrender until this takes place. God does not accept that, folks. He accepts that which is first and that which is best. And that's a life that is so totally surrendered. Day after day, we get to the place to wake up, to again find ourselves to fully surrender to our King and to our God. Man, let's stand, please. name needs prayer this morning, we'd love to pray with you. Come forward during the song, and we'd love to spend some time praying for you. Amen.